Praise God. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, waiting for the comfort of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. Is something standing out to you here? This is the first time I ever caught this, reading through this here. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. So I just added this to my notes during the service, and it started up. Sandy and Dorothy and I were in my office just praying for the service before the meeting here, and Sandy prayed about Daryl's sermon, Ascending Unto the Hill of the Lord, and I realized I'm preaching about a man this morning, Simeon, who is a man who ascended to the hill of the Lord, because it says, you know, to ascend to the hill of the Lord, you have to have pure hands, and a clean heart and pure hands. Is that how it says it, clean hands? Pardon? Clean hands and a pure heart. And I see Simeon was such a man. It says he was a just man and he was a devout man. He was just because he observed the divine law of God. He was living a righteous life as good as he could in the natural man who's just looking and believing for the Savior to come one day and deliver him from his sins. He was a devout man that it was seen that his main interest, the main thing he seemed to be living for was that one day he was going to personally see this Messiah. It was promised to him that he would see him. And when he saw him, he says, now I can curl up and die. It's like that. It's like, my reason for living is done. I don't know how much longer he lived after that, but he knew he had completed something. He fulfilled something in his life that's been on his heart. You know, and he was devout and he was committed to seeing this Messiah. He kept on believing one day he was going to see this Messiah. Now, I think it can change the way you and I live, too, if we would have such a heart like Simeon as he's looking every day for the Messiah. If we would also be alert, we would also have our eyes fixed on him, looking for him to come and get his church, for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to come and get us. We need to be eager for the coming of the Lord. And then we don't get so distracted with a lot of things. Not that we're just going to sit and do nothing, but a lot of things that aren't important will just fall off in our life. But I could see the priests and the Pharisees mumbling under their breath when they see Simon coming again to the temple. And they're mumbling things like, oh, he's got his head in the clouds. And he needs to get on with life. Doesn't Simeon see that there are other things that are important to get done in his life or just sit around waiting for the Messiah to come? Have you ever had people say things like that to you, like putting you down because your main interest and your main desire is to live for the Lord, and they try to put you down? Don't people of the world look at us sometimes and think, we have very boring lives going to church all the time? Well, you know what? I think they have very boring lives. I think they're always trying to find something to do to kind of fix their problem of emptiness and loneliness and unfulfillment. And they dulling themselves and deaden themselves with all kinds of things material things, all kinds of drugs and alcohol and all kinds of things to try to deaden the pain of emptiness in her life. If there's one thing I don't like about vacation is the very thought that maybe this is the Sunday where we have the greatest move of God we ever have in our church, and I'm not going to be there. And if it happens, then people say, Pastor, just stay on vacation. You may have been the hindrance. But, you know, I've been waiting and expecting for this great move of God to come, and today could be that day. But as I was reading this story and reading through Luke again, as I do every year, is how much the Holy Spirit impacted, enveloped Simeon's life. I never caught that before. Three verses right in a row, how the Spirit was there in Simeon's life. When I think of Spirit-filled men, I think of Peter and I think of Paul. I never ever once thought about Simeon. But this is a man that had the Holy Spirit had complete sway over his life. It says that these three things of Simeon in relation to the Spirit of God in his life. The first, that he was, the Holy Spirit was upon him. And then that he had a revelation from the Holy Spirit. And that he was led by the Holy Spirit. This is what it says about Simeon. And this event that happened that we read about is Jesus realized was a little over a month old. I don't know exactly how long, but it says Mary had completed her days of purification. So when you look that up in Leviticus, I forget what chapter it is, Mary, I think it's chapter 12 or somewhere around there, whenever a Jewish woman would give birth to a male child, they would have, on the eighth day, they would circumcise that child. And then from that day, they would count 33 days. And those 33 days, she was living in her uncleanness. And she couldn't touch anything holy. She couldn't enter into the sanctuary. She wouldn't actually be allowed in church today if she had just delivered a male child within the last 33 days. But after you get done with this time of purification, then you're to go to Jerusalem, wherever you are in Israel, and offer up a lamb or two turtle doves or two young pigeons. I suppose if you couldn't afford a lamb, you could come up with enough money to at least get a couple pigeons. And you could go to the sanctuary and you'd offer this up and you'd offer it up for your sin. And yes, Mary, the mother of God, some say she's not the mother of God because God has no mother. She's just the mother of Jesus, the man Jesus she's the mother of. But she also had to make a sin offering after her time of purification. So Jesus was probably no younger than maybe, I don't know how long it took him to get to Jerusalem, let's say a week. So Jesus very well could have been only about 40 days old, maybe 50 days, 60 days old. And I'm saying all of that is because nobody could see anything special about Jesus. He's just a needy baby crying, just like any other baby. And there was no miracles yet performed. There was no great words that just amazed people. We've never heard anybody, ever. The guards, they sent officers to go arrest them, and they came back without them. We just never heard anybody speak like that. It just like took the fight out of them. There was no multiplying of the fish and loaves. There was no healings, no blind seeing, deaf hearing. He was just a helpless baby. But Simeon was there, and what made a difference is he had the Spirit of God upon him. That's what it says. And you know what? This made him sensitive to spiritual things. Amen. Aren't you going to be sensitive to spiritual things? It made him aware that something from heaven has now come on earth. Praise God. If Simeon was an earthly man, he would have been just like any other person milling around the temple that day, just going through the motions, going through the things, maybe some in sincerity, maybe just some in outward showing of the flesh. But he had the Spirit of God upon him. So I think it's safe to say that without the Holy Spirit being so dominant in Simeon's life, Jesus would have just been another baby to him. Jesus would have showed up and he would have missed it. Unless there was somebody else in there that said that this is him. But it seemed like Simeon was the only one. Seems like even Joseph and Mary were maybe quiet about it. I don't know. There's all kinds of stirring going around ever since those shepherd boys went out and evangelized that there's a king born. The kings haven't been there yet because they don't visit till he's about 2 years old. So it's only the shepherds that have proclaimed this. But, you know, people today without the Spirit will be missing the biggest event ever in human history. Of course, the biggest event in all of history is Jesus Christ coming and then dying for our sins. And the greatest power ever poured out on this planet is on the day of Pentecost when God gave his Spirit freely to whosoever should ask him of it. But there's an event going to take place in human history when the Lord comes and raptures his church. And if you don't have the Spirit, you will be missing it. He's not coming for the carnal. He's coming for the spiritual. So if you would let the Holy Spirit have such a sway in your life, you will see things that others don't. You will be led to places others won't go or even know about. And you will hear promises that others won't hear. Wouldn't it be awesome to hear a promise like Simeon did? Simeon heard a promise that says, you will not die until you see me, the Messiah. Imagine the Lord saying clearly, you will not die until you see a full-blown revival come to America and hearts of men repenting. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'd probably go out and do some dangerous things to try to speed that up a little bit. It'll make the Lord say, man, he's going to kill himself. I better let that have the revival come. No, I don't think he works like that. But you could be a Simeon in that you could have spiritual senses just like he did. When others saw Joseph and Mary in the temple, when they saw Joseph and Mary in the temple just dedicating another baby, Simeon saw the Son of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is something, some people look and there's a baby, and Simeon's looking, there's the Messiah. There's the Son of God. He didn't really grasp maybe the fullness of who that baby was, but he knew that he was the coming Messiah. So this is the first thing that stood out about him, is that the Spirit was upon him. Saints who live carnal lives are not people who have the Spirit of God upon them. I'm not saying that they don't have the indwelling presence of God, and sometimes they don't. They're not really saints. But I'm saying that they don't live the Spirit-filled life. Since Pentecost, every Christian has had the privilege to be filled with the Spirit, just as the saints in the upper room today. But today, the ministry of the Holy Spirit has been so rejected that Christians actually feel uncomfortable being around the presence of Christians who are filled with the Spirit. How did it get to be like that in the church? How is it that the church has grown to be this, so accustomed to the lack of the Spirit in our gatherings? It happened because of unbelief. It happened because men want control. You want control of things. Like Daryl said in that thing, the disciples saw Elijah and Moses, James, John, Peter, James, and John saw Moses and Elijah and Jesus, and right away they wanted to start a building program. That was funny. Right away they want to start taking, some credit for it. But thank God for those Simeons in the temple who are keen to the ways and the means of the Spirit when others have no sense of it. We need believers who are filled with the Spirit, who can make an impact in our churches, not just in our churches, but will make an impact in this world. Then we see the Spirit mentioned for the second time. And we see that the Spirit is the one that revealed to Simeon that he would not see death until he saw the Messiah. There is no mention how long he was, how long ago he was told this. doesn't mention how old he is. It doesn't mention how many times he come to the temple. Was he like Samuel who lived in the temple, or like Anna who follows, her story follows his, where she was a widow and just spent her time in prayer and fasting in the temple. Doesn't say anything about him other than that he wasn't going to pass away until he saw the Messiah come. So when you live the Spirit-filled life, it is then that you can hear the things of the Spirit. You will hear things from God that are specific for you in your life. You'll be given promises and expectations that come directly from God to you. I'm saddened that much of the church never walks in the riches of this revelation from God, where God has one-on-one. And it is, and again, we marvel at that here in this church, that God can have such a personal relationship with each one of you, like you are the only one. Just like a husband and wife. Joy is my only wife. I'm her only husband. Her and I have become one. We have this relationship that cannot be shared with anybody else. You can have yours with your wife or your husband, but hers and ours is special to us. But God has that with each of us. That's awesome. And we need to live in that. We need to realize the blessing of that and the impact that can have in our life. So he will give you promises and he will give you expectations that you can count on him for. And you won't read of anyone else in the Bible other than Simeon, unless you can think of somebody off the top of your head that was ever told, "You will not die until you will see the Messiah." There may have been others. It's not recorded. So I'm sure there could have been a few or probably none. I don't know. But it doesn't tell us. So this was a special thing that Simeon was told. Was this outside of the Bible? Absolutely not. How did he even know there was a Messiah? Because he's reading about it all the time. There's this one coming that's going to bruise the serpent's head, you know, and bruise his heel and crush Satan's head, you know. And he was looking for this one, and the Lord just said, this one you're reading about, this one you're looking for, you are going to see him before you pass away. Praise God. There could have been others, but it doesn't record it. And I just think this is a special little promise for Simeon. And it takes a man or a woman full of the Spirit to be sensitive to God. It was the Spirit who ministered this promise specifically to Simeon. It's amazing how the Godhead works. We need all three. We need the Spirit, Jesus, to get us to the Father. We need the Spirit to awaken us to Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. We need the Father to send the Spirit. Praise God. And they all work in unison. When you got one, you get them all. Praise God. That's what he told the Pharisees. Because you reject me, you are rejecting the Father. Don't think you love the Father and that you're faithful to the Father because you reject me and you don't love me. And you can't have one without the other. Just like you can't have the Jesus, the Savior, without Jesus, the Lord. But we learn, in the same way, God through the Spirit will say special things to you that aren't necessarily recorded in the Bible, like Simeon didn't look in there and say that he's going to see the Messiah. That was something that the Spirit told them. But it won't ever be contrary to the Word. You can hear them if you are full of the Spirit of God. So we learn by Simeon's comment, where he says, "For my eyes have seen your salvation," that he knew he was looking at the Messiah. What a day that was for him, just going in every day. You know, maybe this particular day, who knows, maybe there was something stirring up in him. Maybe there was an excitement in him that day when he was going to the temple. But the day was finally there. He saw this Messiah, and he held him up before the Lord and basically proclaiming, this is him. Praise God. And then he says, he further said, "A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." He went on to prophesy what this Messiah is going to do. Simeon's words were so powerful that even Jesus' own mother and father marveled at what Simeon said. Joseph and Mary evidently had not received the same revelation that Simeon had on who Jesus was. The church here in America is the most educated, I believe, of all believers around this world. We still send people all over the world, big high-profile preachers and teachers. And we have some of the biggest and the brightest Bible teachers of all time living right here in America. You can hear them on church on Sunday morning. You can live broadcast their meetings. You can read their books. You can hear them on television, on radio, 24 hours a day if you want. And then I don't think much of an argument, I'd have much of an argument if I were to declare to you, there we go, if I were to declare that the church in America has had, knows very little of Christ. We have all of these teachers telling us all about him, but it seems like we know very little of him. It is one thing to know things about him. It is another thing to know him. The church has very little effect in our nation, especially when you compare it to how spiritually educated we are. The main reason is because we have exchanged the activity of the Holy Spirit for the life of academia, self-promoted techniques and ideas. We just got a way to do this. Like Ford, we got a better idea or better way, however their commercial was. When there is much dependency on man, then there will not be spiritual results. When there's dependency on the flesh, then what we will have will be nothing but what is born of the flesh. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. And this is one of the hardest lessons for the church in this generation to learn, that without the spirit, you cannot get spiritual results. The church has been given an immense gift of receiving the Holy Spirit, not just to dwell in us, but to fill us so we can have a powerful effect in the world. Then the third time we see the Spirit mentioned in Luke chapter 2 in Simeon's life, it was that the Spirit led him to church that morning. I hope we come to church because the Spirit is prompting us and the Spirit is leading us. Again, it doesn't give much information how often Simeon went to the temple, how long he stayed. But that particular day, we know that he was led by the Spirit to go to the temple. How do we know that? Because we just got done reading it. There may have been a tinge of excitement. This is the day. There may have been a bearing of the witness of the Spirit that he's going to be the Messiah. He's going to see the Messiah. It could have just been just like any other day. But we do know that the Spirit brought him to the temple that day. We have people that go to church today because they have to. We have people that go to church today because they think it saves them. We have people that go to church because they're good church members. We have people that go to church because it's obligation. We have people that go to church because they want to, for whatever reason that is. I want to go. Some go to church because they are prompted and stirred by the Spirit to go. Praise God. Amen. Because the Spirit is working in us and encouraging us and giving us something to come and give to the body of Christ. I think so many of us are missing out on the true excitement of being a Christian by not letting the Holy Spirit guide our lives. I think there's a lot more things we would experience. We miss so many things because our lives are not possessed by the Holy Spirit of God like it could be. My thing just scrolled. Gotta find my spot. Here we go. So I think in the morning when you get up, just don't get up. Say a few prayers, read a few chapters of your Bible, and then go about your business. But let the Spirit take what you're reading and plant it in you. Amen. Let it become you. Let the Spirit move on you when you pray. I believe if you can get a minute of good Spirit-motivated prayer in the morning, we'll blow an hour away of just mumbling and jumbling. And I've done a lot of that in my life. I love when I just get in and when I connect with the Lord. And every time I do, I always just instantly feel that burden for Wisconsin to see the remnant come to life. It just hits me every time. But imagine the powerhouse the church would be if she would just gain a fresh new sensitivity to the Holy Spirit of God. I suppose a lot of places you don't need a sensitivity to the Spirit because the Spirit ain't there. But if we want the Spirit to be in our church, we need to be sensitive to the Spirit being here. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for searching the Scripture to find eternal life, while all along they are looking at him. Jesus didn't rebuke them for studying the Scripture. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He rebuked them for not believing the Scriptures and not seeing and not hearing the Scriptures. They were searching the Scriptures to study the law. They weren't looking to find the Messiah. They were looking how to be a better Pharisee and a better chief priest and a better holier-than-thou person, but they weren't looking in there. I want to see Jesus. Amen. They were not in the Spirit. The Pharisees were not. And you can say, well, Pastor, the Spirit wasn't given yet. Well, tell that to Simeon. He had something of the Spirit, huh? Before Pentecost came. You know, I know that that Pentecost was a benchmark day in regards to the pouring out of the Spirit. But all throughout the Old Testament, we read of different individuals where the Spirit came on them. You read of people being moved by the Spirit, even in the Old Testament times, all the way up to the Pentecost. The Spirit moved. It was on the day of Pentecost that it became access to every believer, to everyone that wanted it. So, Simeon, he was a man that the Spirit was upon. He had revelation from the Spirit, and he was led by the Spirit. How about you? Do you want to be a spiritual man? Do you want to be a spiritual woman? Amen? Do you want this to be more than just the carnal thing we do? Don't you want it to just be our life? Don't you want to be like Simeon? It's like, my life... My reason for living is, for one thing, I want to see this Jesus. I want to see this Messiah. I want him to be more real in my life than he's ever been. As Daryl put in that what I read this morning in 2 Corinthians, from glory to glory. Praise God. I want more and more of him. Spiritual people will let that dominate their life. Spiritual people will not allow other things. You know, as we get into the busyness of life, they will not let the things that God aren't in interfere and distract, and they will just keep their focus where it needs to be. Praise God. So are you one that wants to totally be under the sway of the Spirit? Are you filled with the Spirit? If not, do you want to be filled with the Spirit? I'll pray with you this morning. If you want to be filled with the Spirit, I'm going to open up the altars here. I know we got our fellowship, and I don't want us to be distracted, but I just want to open up the altars here, and I don't know how long we'll be here, but if you're seeking the Lord and your time is done with him and you want to go talk, we're having fellowship downstairs, so just go down there and, and enjoy that. But I just want to open up the altars this morning for us to just renew our relationship with the Spirit of God in our life. I just love that story, how you're just reading all this about Jesus. All of a sudden, Simeon pops into the scene. But not just any ordinary man, a man that was filled, that the Spirit was upon, a man that the Spirit would talk to him, and a man who allowed the Spirit to lead him. And that Spirit led him right to the face of Jesus. Praise God. You know the Spirit of God is involved when it's directing you and leading you to Jesus. Praise God. Amen. The Spirit of God doesn't lead us off this way and lead us off that way. The Spirit of God leads us into spiritual things. If you want me to pray for you to be filled, I'll be glad to do that. Elders can join me as well. And if you just want to come and be refilled this morning, you just want to open up your heart to be sensitive to the Spirit, don't be afraid of the Spirit of God in your life. If you really believe your Bible, if you really believe that there is a Father and there is a Son and that there is a Holy Ghost, then just open your heart to that. No demon's going to come in. You're up here, you're seeking the Lord. You don't even have to be up here, but you're seeking the Lord and you want become a spiritual man and you want him to lead your life. He'll come and you got to let him. And you can't reject him. You can't harden yourself. You can't fear. Just let the Spirit take control of your life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen.